We begin the current daf Masechta the Baba Basra daf Kuf Ayin Dalet, 5 lines down at the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues on the theme of the previous daf, which the Gemara clarified Chesur Mechsur, though there were words missing in the Halacha of our Mishnah in the previous daf regarding the Machlekes of Shemim Lila and Tanakama. So, for example, the Halacha of the Tanakama was regarding someone who is a guarantor on the loan, as we differentiated between an Ariv and a Kablan. Regarding an Ariv, the Malva, the lender, can only go to the guarantor if the borrower doesn't have any possessions. But regarding the Kablan, if he is a higher level of responsibility, then even if the borrower has possessions, he's allowed to go ahead and collect directly from the Kablan. So on that, Rav Huna, the Gemara continues and he qualifies what type of wording would make someone as a Kablan, and what type of wording would make him into an Ariv. So Rav Huna explains, if let's say this guarantor says, Hilvohu vani arv, lend that borrower money and I'll be the guarantor. Or he says, Hilvohu vani pareya, lend him money and I will pay. Or Hilvohu vani chayv, lend him and I'll be obligated. Or Hilvohu vani noisin, lend him money and I will give. Kulon loshna rovasin. So all those terminologies are terminologies of becoming an arv, a guarantor. Because all of them use the opening phrase of Hilvohu, of lend him money. Which means to say that he's the borrower, because he's saying, lend him, and I'll pay if he doesn't pay up. Which, as we said, the halacha of Arab is only if the borrower doesn't have money, then you can go to the guarantor. But, says Rav Huna, let's say he says, ten loy, give him. Doesn't say lend him, give him, meaning give the money to him, va'ani kablan, and I'll be the kablan, meaning I will pay. Or let's say he says, ten loy va'ani pareh, give him, and I will pay up. Or ten levani chayv, give him and I'll be obligated. Or ten levani noisin, give him and I will give. So kulan loshin kablanis, all those are terminologies of kablanis, because he doesn't say lend him. There's no designation of a loan. Rather, what it seems to be indicating when this kablan is saying is do my agency, give him money, which is that you're acting in my service. So it's almost as if the lender is working under the mission of the kablan, and therefore it's a direct obligation to the kablan, and that's why the halacha we said in the halacha of our Mishnah, the Tanakama, you can go directly to the kablan. Now, Iboilu, however, they have the following question. By these two different designations, by the Arav, his sentences, and the kablan, his sentences, the Arav had two designations of Arevus. One was the term of Helvo, and also then there was a follow-up of different terms of, okay, and then I'll pay up, which is the conceptual framework of an Arab. So too, the Kablan had, ten lay give it to him, and then the follow-up of an obligation of, because I'm the one that's primarily obligated. But they both with the following question, let's say somewhere in the middle. Helvo huvani Kablan, let's say he says, lend him money, which seems to be an indication of a rapist, but then he says, and I am a Kablan. Or tenle vani arv, or the other way around. Tenle give him, which we had said is primarily a designation of kablanis, but then he ends up the sentence saying, and I will be an arv. Not if you say tenle vani pireya or all these other things, so that's a follow up of tenle, which is kablanis, but here he says, and I will be an arv, I will be a guarantor. So either one of these questions are half sounding like arevus, half sounding like kablanis. My word, Allah will be over there. So Amr Bitzchak, he says, Lashon arevus arevus. When you say a terminology of, and I am an Arav, so it doesn't make a difference if you open up by saying lend him or give him. Either way, he says Vani Arav, so he's saying he's an Arav. So all he is an Arav and not a Kablan. And Lashon Kablan is Kablan. So too, when he says, and I am a Kablan, so that means he's a Kablan. Even if he opened up with Helvo, it doesn't make a difference. Whatever you designated that, that's what you are, that's the responsibility that you're going to have. Rav Chisda, he says, Kulan Lashon Kablan. He's going back on this whole the characterization of Rav Huna. He says that actually all the cases, even if someone says ten loy va'ani ariv, or even if he says hilvo vani pareya or hilvo vani chayiv, which those cases Rav Huna had said clearly are cases of ariv, or hilvo vani noisinloch, and that Rav Chisda disagrees. He says no, all those sentences are all going to be obligations of kablanis, bar mehilvo vani ariv. Except if it has both of the halves of the sentences indicate a loan with a guarantor, which is lend him and I'll be an Arav, where there, since the only thing was said was Halva and Arevis, then he's totally removing himself from the higher level of Kablanis. But says Rav Chisda in disagreement with Rav Huna's halacha that any other sentence, if it's not total Arevis and Halva, then there will be the obligation of Halva, of Kablanis. Rav Amar, he says the other way. He says, Kulon Loshna Reversin. No, to the contrary. All the sentences are all Arevers, even if he says, Helveu Vani Kablin, lend him and I will be a Kablin, or Tenloi Vani Pereya, or Tenloi Vani Chayev, which according to Rav Huna had said that those are going to be Kablons, and Bishor according to Rav Chizda, who held everything is Kablons. Rav takes the other extreme of Rav Chizda. He says, no, that in those cases, it sounds like that regarding those cases, he understands it as, no, that I will pay for him if he doesn't pay, which are the conceptual understanding of Arevas. Bar mitem loy vani noisen, except for if both designations indicate kaplanis, where give to him and then I'll give, whereas Rashbam points out for sure if he says ten loy vani kaplan, which he's saying directly is a kablan, and he's using tenloi, only then says Rava will be a kablan, but to the contrary, everything else will be arevus, because it sounds like give him, and then if he doesn't give, then I'll take his place. And says Rashbam, and we paskin like Rava, because he's what's known as Basra, he's a later Amira, and therefore he took everything into consideration, and therefore everything will be considered arevus, unless he has both designations indicating kablanus. Now, but again, according to the way Rav said it, was specifically in the case of when he says, ten loy vani noisin, give to him, and I'll give to you, where both of them are the terms of giving, of gifting, which it sounds like kablanis. And the reason for this is because with the same wording that he said that he should give it to the borrower, that's the same terminology that he used with his obligation to pay up the lender, which almost sounds like that it's basically he's taking the place of the borrower, where give him and I'll give you, which is almost like as if he was the one who took the loan from the lender, which is the obligation of Kablan, is that you go directly to the Kablan. Now, finishing up this theme, Omale Mar Bar Memel Ravashi. So Mar Bar Memel has said to Ravashi, Hachi Amar Abba, this is what my father Amemer said. Ten Levani Noisen, this designation that Rav had just said when this Kablan tells the lender, give to the borrower and I will give, I'll pay you up. So not only like Rava had said that he can go straight to the Kablan, but actually the lender has nothing, no claim at all on the borrower, because it's all responsibility, and it's the sole responsibility of the Kablan. Which the Gemara says, Wallahi, it's not the case. The borrower does not become exempt from the claim of the lender until the Arev, the Kablan, actually goes and takes it from the lender and gives it to the borrower. Only then will that be considered as if it was loaned to the guarantor, and that there's no responsibility at all on the borrower's part. So again, regarding arevus, the halacha is, as we said in the Tanakam of a Mishnah, you could only collect from the arev if the borrower himself doesn't have any money. Kablan is the lender could collect from whichever one he wants to, like Rabbana the Mishnah. But as we're concluding, if he actually goes and takes it actively with his own hand from the lender and gives it to the borrower, then the lender has no claim on the borrower at all, and it could only go to the Kablan. Gemara continues with a related incident to these halachas. Ahu Dayana, there was a certain judge, the Achti Lamava Lanichsi Deleva, that the judge allowed the lender to go and repossess the assets of the borrower, mikmei de litfei leleiva, even before he went to claim from the borrower to see if he's going to pay up, he let him go directly to his possessions. So Solka Rav Chanan Bered Rav Yeva, so Rav Chanan Bered Rav Yeva demoted and took down this judge from being a judge. So Amar Rav, Rabbi commented, he says, Ma'achokim lemevet ki amilsa, who's so wise to do such a thing, ilav Rav Chanan Bered Rav Yeva, if not such a great person like Rav Chanan Bered Rav Yeva? Why? Kesava, because he held nichsi de bar inish, a person's own possessions, inun ba'arvin yasei, they are his guarantors. As the pasuk says in Mishlei, im ein lecha l'shalm, if you don't know what to pay up, lo meyikach mishkavcha mitachtecha, why should they have to take away your bed from you? And so too, like a pasuk in Devarim that says, yoyti lecha avad achutza, that you take out the collateral outside, meaning if a person doesn't pay up, his own possessions are his guarantors, that's where the lender could collect from. Now, it's not, we learned in Halacha of our Mishnah that says, Hamavet chaver al de arev, someone lends his friend money through a guarantor. Lo yifra min arev. So the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to collect from the guarantor. Now, the Kaimelon we had explained, what does it mean? Lo yitva arev tchilo. You're not allowed to initially go ahead and collect from the guarantor. In other words, it's not appropriate to go and make the guarantor go through the effort for nothing, because maybe the borrower himself will pay up. So that's the same logic that applies to a person's own possessions. Why should we go through the problem of a person's possessions being repossessed allowing the lender to go and take this guy's stuff, where maybe the bar mitzvah will pay up the money and you won't have to go down to his possessions. And that's because we conceptually view a person's possessions as his arev. And just like you not go to the arev first, so you not go to his possessions first. And that's why he took down the judge, because that was an inappropriate halacha. Another incident regarding these halachas, Hahu arva di yasmei. There was a guarantor for orphans. In other words, their father had borrowed money when this guy was alive. And this guy became a guarantor for their father for his loan because of him. Now, after the father passed away, the pare, where then the guarantor had went and initially paid up, lamalva directly to the lender, mikmei delalid liyasmi, before he had notified the orphans. In other words, he paid up from his own money and not from the orphans' money, where that the lender didn't even get an opportunity to claim the orphans. The guarantor just paid up the loan. And now the guarantor is going to the orphans to go ahead and make that, resubmit that claim, to say, I paid it up already to the lender, now pay me back, because it's really your father that owes me the money now, because I was just being his guarantor. So Amar Papa says, Priest Balchayv Mitzvah. The paying of a creditor is a mitzvah. In other words, now what happens is that the guarantor is a creditor to the orphans. Now, moreover, that debt that their father has to the guarantor was never written in the document in that way. It becomes like an oral loan, where that is a mitzvah for that to be paid up. But the yasmi, but orphans that are under the age of 13, la b'nei me'evin mitzvah ninu, they're not people that are obligated in performing mitzvahs. So therefore, what Rav Papa was saying was, when they become adults, then this creditor, this Arev, this guarantor, could go and take them to court, as the Gemara says in Cheskes Abatim, Lama Gimel Med Aleph. But for now, he can't collect from them, because all he has is a oral loan on them, which is a mitzvah, but they're not b'nei mitzvah yet. They're not bar mitzvah, they're not in the age of 13. He cannot collect from them that debt that he had paid for their father as a guarantor. Now, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Yeshua, he gives a different interpretation to this halacha of this incident. He says the truth is that really orphans do have to perform mitzvahs. As the Gemara in Erechin says in the Chav Bezim and Aleph, that when orphans consume things which are not theirs, then the Gemara says a term like Lezel Basa Shevkaya, let them follow after the one who had passed away before them, their father, because no, orphans have to keep to the mitzvahs even if they're not 13, just like adults have to. Now, but the reason why the Arif cannot collect from the orphans until they become adults is because only when they become adult do they know how to claim and litigate in a court of law, because you could say that a mitzrori at fase, you could say that maybe that their father had given a bundle of money to the lender when he was still alive to exempt the Arif, his guarantor, from having to pay. Now, so therefore every oral loan, you could say that maybe the father had paid it when he was still alive. Now, as Rashbam points out, although the Gemara tells us later on the Perek that an oral loan could be collected from Yarshin, that says Rashbam, as we'll see shortly, this concept is only if, let's say, the father died in a state of excommunication, I'm not willing to pay the debt, or when he admits that he didn't pay the debt. But unless we know that he didn't pay the debt, then we have to suspect that maybe he did pay it, and therefore when they become adults, then you could take them to court of law, that then they could litigate. But now they're minors, they don't know anything. And therefore, although there's this oral loan, you cannot collect, because maybe the father had really taken care of that when he was still alive by depositing a bundle of money with the lender and had already taken care of it, and then therefore there was no obligation on the Arev, and there's no money that's owed to the guarantor to pay up the loan when it was already paid up by the father when he was still alive. As Gemara continues Talmud Beis, so it asks, "My Benayu, so what's the practical difference between these two different interpretations? Either way, according to both, the Arib cannot collect right now from the orphans until they become adults." So Ikibnai, the Gemara says, these two differences that we just mentioned, Rashbam, either Kishachayiv Maida, when this father was passing away, he admitted that he didn't pay up the loan, where so therefore there's no concern for Tzrari to say that he had paid it up by giving a bundle to the lender. He admits he didn't. So according to Rav Huna, you'd be able to collect from the orphans, because there is no concern of the Tzrari Atfasi. Whereas according to Rav Papa, that the whole reason is, even if we know that it's owed, but the Lab B'nai Mitzvah is Ninu, so then you wouldn't be able to collect from them until they become adults. Or Inam, your similar answer is the Shamtu Meis B'Shamte. If they had excommunicated him, or they put him in a ban because he wasn't willing to pay up the debt, and he died in that ban because he didn't want to pay up when he was still alive, is the same idea. According to Rav Huna, then you would be able to collect. According to Rav Papa, then you wouldn't be able to collect because they're not B'nai Mitzvah yet. Says the Gemara, Shalchu Mitam, they sent from there from Eretz Yisrael, Shamtu Meis Beshamte. If they had put this ban on him and he died in that ban, which in other words, it's known that he didn't pay up, so it's like the case of when he admits that he didn't pay up, that you could collect from the orphans, and we do not say like our papa that they're not, that the orphans are not b'nei mitzvah. And no, the whole reason why you usually cannot collect is because emet sarari atfasa, and you don't have that when he admits that he didn't pay it up. Now the Gemara says meisvah. The Gemara asks for our papa's interpretation from the following brisa, where a papa had said you can't collect because they're not b'nei mitzvah, which seems to be, so there's never a case that you could collect. Because even if we know there's an obligation, they're not adults, they don't have to fulfill that mitzvah of priyas bal chayv. So on that, the Gemara adds from the following b'raisa. Arif shahay yushtar chayv yeitze mitachas yadu, a guarantor that had the deed, the loan document, that he was holding on to. In other words, he was coming to collect from the orphans, and he said, I paid up your father's debts, and this document proves it because the lender gave me the loan document, and see, I have that deed. Obviously, it's because I paid it up, says the Braisa, ain't a gaiva. So he cannot collect from the orphans until they become adults, and then he could litigate with them, and then he would swear and collect from them, like anyone that comes to collect from the Nichsa Yisayman. But now that they're minors, he cannot collect. But, says the Braisa, vim kasuv boy, but if the lender wrote in that document, Hiskabalti mimcha, I had already received the payment of this debt from you, the guarantor, and the guarantor is holding this document, then he could collect even though they're minors. So that's asked the Gemara, Bishlam the Rav Huna b'Rei de Yeshua, Mishkachas la kishchayv maida. We could understand this halacha where if the lender is admitting that the guarantor had paid up, and it's written in the document, and moreover, we could explain in the case where if the borrower himself, before he passed away, had admitted that he didn't pay it up, so that, according to Rav Huna, is a case when we know that you could collect from orphans, because the whole reason is emet sarari atfasa, if the father himself had admitted he didn't pay it up, and now we know that it actually was paid up to the lender, because the lender himself wrote it in the document, so that's why he could collect from the orphans now when they're minors. It's difficult because there's never really a case that you could collect from the orphans, even if you know that the guarantor paid it up, and even if the father admitted that he didn't pay it up, and therefore the guarantor had to pay it up, and he's owed it by the yistid. It doesn't make a difference. They're not adults. There's no way you could collect from them because they don't have to fulfill that mitzvah until they're adults. So the Gemara no shani hasam. There it's different. Because lahachi tarach v'kasav lehiskabalti, because that's the reason why the lender went through the effort of writing on the document that I received the money from you, the guarantor, which was to make the guarantor as if he was in possession of a document of a debt that's owed from the orphans to him. So therefore, it's not considered anymore as a milva al pez or a loan, because here he has a documentation that the money is owed to him. Now, regarding milva b'shtar, there a papa agrees that then you could collect from orphans. Because now it's no more just priyas bal chayv mitzvah. It's not just a mitzvah. That's when, regarding an oral loan. When it's a written loan, then it's a chayv, then it's not obligation. Then it's incumbent upon them to pay even against their will. That's something that can be collected even from orphans, even when they're minors, and therefore it's not difficult on Rav Papa. Now the Gemara brings another incident in these halachas. There was someone that was a guarantor to a non-Jew who had lent money to an individual. That he paid up the non-Jewish lender before that they got a chance to go ahead and try to claim the money from the orphans, meaning from this person who had died, his orphans had to pay up the debt. This guy, the guarantor, paid it up before it was claimed from the orphans. So Amalei Rav Mordechai L'Rav Ashi says, Hochar Amar Avimi Magrunya B'Shmei D'Rava. Afil L'manda Amar Chayshin and L'Tzrari, we had two different interpretations why you cannot collect from orphans. So on that he says, even according to the opinion that says that we're usually concerned, which was as we had brought the halacha like Rav Huna, that the reason is because we're concerned that maybe that the lender had already, that the borrower had already paid up the lender before he passed away, because maybe he had given them a bundle of money, and therefore we said that that's why Rav Huna holds that you cannot collect. The guarantor cannot collect from the orphans when they're still minors. And that explains, but Hanamili, that was only said when the lender is a Yisrael, when the lender is a Jew, where there the law is that it's that the borrower has to pay up to the lender first, because as we said, that the lender cannot go directly to the Arv. So then we say, it makes sense that the first line of defense would have been that the borrower would have paid up the lender. So it makes sense that, at least to suspect, that maybe the father had paid it up before he passed away because he knows that he's the first line of obligation. So it's there that Rav Huna says you cannot collect from the orphans when they're minors. Avil, but where the lender is an Oivet Kechavim, a non-Jew, there the borrower would not go ahead and give a bundle of coin to the non-Jewish lender. Because the Jew knows, the Jewish borrower knows, that a non-Jew, Kivin the Basa Arva Azl, since they go directly to the guarantor, they don't try to necessarily go to the borrower first. So what he knows that therefore, ultimately, he knows that the lender is going to go and collect another time from the guarantor, because they go straight to the guarantors. So there, loy chashin litzrari, there we're not concerned and suspect that maybe the father had given the bundle of coins to the lender, because why should he do that? He knows he's going to go to the guarantor, why should he make him allow him to collect two times? And therefore, says the halacha that here, actually in this case, the guarantor could collect from the yisayim. Because although we say generally cannot when they're minors, because maybe their father had paid up, here we say no. For the non-Jewish lender, he would not do that because he knows that anyways the lender is going to go ahead and collect from the Arav, and therefore he could go ahead and collect from the minors. And that says the Gemara, Amalei said back to him, no, Adrabba, to the contrary. No, even according to Rav Papa, who says generally we're not concerned for that the father having given the bundle of money to the lender. Hanimili Yisrael, that's only when the lender is a Jew. Aval Oyvi Kechavim, but when the lender is a non-Jew, Kivin did deny who Basar Arva Azli, since their law is that they allow that the lender to go directly to the guarantor. Had the borrower not given a bundle of money from the beginning, in other words, when a Jew becomes an Oriv to a non-Jewish lender, if not for the fact that the borrower would have given the bundle of money to the Oriv, to the guarantor, Lav Makabale, then the guarantor would never have accepted the responsibility to be the guarantor, because he knows for sure that the non-Jewish lender is going to go and collect from him and not from the borrower. And therefore, says he responds back that no, even according to our Papa in this case, regarding the concept of Tzorei Atvasa, we would not be able to collect from the orphans until they become an adult, because to the contrary, everyone would agree in this case that there would be Tzorei Atvasa not to the lender, but rather to the Arav. And therefore, even if the Arav paid it up, we suspect that maybe the father had already paid up to Arav, and therefore would not allow the Arav to collect a second time from the estate. And therefore, in this halacha, he says, to the contrary, no, you cannot collect from the orphans when they're minors. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah that said, V'chinar hayur b'shim lilo aymer, so to b'shim lilo said, another line of defense for the Arav, besides for his halacha that he said, you cannot go directly to the guarantor, you have to first go, even by the cases of Kablan, is first to the borrower. So too, he said, Ha'arav le'isha b'ksubasa b'chulu, if someone is a guarantor for a woman's ksuba, saying, don't worry, if your husband can't pay it up, when he divorces you, I'll pay the ksuba. So the loch is, we said, yadiren ha'na'a, we require the husband to make a vow of forbidding himself having benefit because of what we're concerned of kenunya, that he's going to do this old trick and say, wait, we have no money, I'll divorce you. This guy will have to pay up your ksuba, and then we'll get remarried. We'll have all this money to share together. So he has to make a neder of anah, forbidding himself from ever remarrying her, and because then we're not concerned for their making this kanunya to try to rip out money from the guarantor. Now, related to this halacha, the Gemara brings the following incident. Moshe Ba'atzri, that was his name, Arava de ksubasta de kalsehava. He was a guarantor for his daughter-in-law's ksuba, meaning when his son was getting married, so she doesn't know if the chassan is going to be able to pay for this in case something happens. He says, the father of the chassan said, don't worry, if anything happens, I'll pay it up. Now, Rav Huna Berei, Tzuva Mirabon Haba, his son Rav Huna was a Talmudic scholar. Udechik Lemissa, and he had it very hard. He didn't have enough money to support himself. So Abaya said, Leka de Nazel de Nasfi Eitzel Rav Huna, is there no one that's going to go ahead and give good counsel to Rav Huna? De Nigra Shala de Besu, give him this great advice. He should divorce his wife. And then the wife will be able to go ahead and collect the ksuba. Her husband doesn't have enough money to pay the ksuba. She'll go to her father-in-law, who will have to pay the ksuba. And then the chassan, the husband, will go out and remarry her. And then they'll have money to support themselves. So that, Amalei Rava asked Abaya, what do you mean? We learned in our mission that says, you can't do that, because we're exactly afraid of that trick. And therefore, the halacha is that he has to make a vow forbidding himself to have benefit from his wife ever again. So that how, and that precludes remarrying. So what are you talking about? Abaye said, what do you mean? Atu called the Megarish, you're right. That would be if that's in the court of law. But you think everyone who divorces Bebedin the Megarish divorces in court? In court, they go ahead and they make that stipulation. But if he just does it on his own, where the courts, no one's going to make him a Nedra Noah, and then he'll be divorced, and then his father will have to pay up, then they'll have this great idea of getting the father's money. Now, but says the Gemara, L'Seif Gloy Mils, at the end it was revealed, the Kohen who had this Rav Huna was a Kohen, and if he would divorce his wife, anyway he would not be able to remarry her, not because of the Nedra Banah, but just because a Kohen cannot marry a Grusha, even his own wife that he divorced. So Abaye commented, he says, Hayin d'amri inchi, this is what people say, Basar Anya Azlan Yusuf. After the poor goes poverty. I mean to say the poor get poorer, the rich get richer, meaning to say like he's poor and even this doesn't work out for him. He can't even do this idea to get some money. Now however, the Gemara asks that, did really Abaye even give this idea? It didn't end up panning out, but did he really give this idea to say that, give him counsel to try to swindle money out of his father to pay up for his daughter's ksuba and then remarry her? But Abaye himself had said, which is brought in Perek Yesh Neichlin, Izehu Rasha Arm. Who's a crafty, wicked person? What's these two appellations? He's wicked regarding someone that gets involved in a dispute that's not his. And he actually gets involved and he voids the intent of the original giver. Because the original giver, let's say, tells someone that my possessions go to you, and after you it should go to that other person. Now, his intention was not that the first person who gets it should sell it off to other people, because then it's going to cause a loss for the one that should come after you. So the one who gets involved and tries to make sure it doesn't go, first of all, he's wicked because he's getting involved in someone else's business, preventing someone what the original intent was. Moreover, his arm is crafty because ultimately he is successful. Because what that first guy does then is done. Because the one who gave it to him didn't protest at the time that he had given it to him, saying that he cannot sell it off. So Abaye had said, so who's a crafty, wicked person? Zeha Mesi Eitzah, this one who gives counsel, Limker B'nechasim K'reb Hashem Gamliel, to sell off the possessions like Gamliel, who he had said that if the first one goes and sells it, Masha Asa Asa, what he has done is done. Because ultimately, the one acharecha, the one after you, only has what the first one leaves over. And he doesn't leave over anything. But that's still a wicked thing, and it's crafty, because you're being successful. Who's asking you to go ahead and give this guy, the first guy, idea? It's not what the original giver's intentions was. So therefore, that seems to be the same thing over here. How could Abaye say that, let them do this trick, when the father had been to Arv, his intention wasn't that his son should swindle him out of money to divorce and remarry his wife. So how could Abaye himself give that counsel? So now the Gemara says two differences. First of all, Benoy Shani. When it's his son, it's different. And the Tzuvim Rabban Shani, when it's a Tamaruk scholar, is also different. Under those extenuating circumstances, that's not considered a Rasha Arv. A regular situation, why are you getting involved, why are you deviating, that's problematic. But here, when the guy's own son, and when he's a Talmud Chacham, then they would be willing to, even though it seems a little bit not straight up, that's something that would be different, and then you could give that counsel. Now, but the Gemara asks a technical question. But v'ha'arivu, ultimately the father, this Moshe Ba'atzri, was just a guarantor for his daughter-in-law's ksuba. Now, v'kaimalon, as the Gemara will tell us later on, we conclude that the halacha is arv de ksuba loy mishtabed. A guarantor for a woman's ksuba does not become indebted. As we see, it's just a motivational tool, but he actually doesn't ultimately have to end up paying it. So how could this have been an idea in the first place? So the Gemara says, no, Kablin Haba. He wasn't just an Arv, as we established previously in the Daf. He was a Kablin, which is a higher level of responsibility, which then he is obligated in the Dorunos Ksuba. But the Gemara still asks, Hanich Lamanda Amma Kablin the Ksuba. This works very well according to the pin that holds that a Kablin of a Ksuba, Avagav de Lesle Nichsi Labal, that even if the husband didn't have any possessions, Mishtabed, still the Kablin becomes indebted. So Shapit, that would make sense, where although Rav Huna, the son, did not have any money, the father, who was a Kablan, became obligated in the Ksuba payment, so that would have been a good idea. Elamando amar I isle mishtabed, but according to the opinion that says that if the chassan has possessions at the time he gets married, then the Kablan becomes indebted, so that would make sense. But I lesle loy mishtabed, but if he doesn't have, then he would not become indebted. So Mayakalamema, what are you going to say? Because here, Rav Huna did not have possessions, and therefore his father should not have become a shubit anyway, because according to that opinion, if he doesn't have, then the kablin, even if he's a kablin, does not become indebted. So the Gemara says, Ibai same, if you want, you could say that Mehava Havale, no, that Rav Huna, at the time that he became a chasim, when he got married, at the time that his father became the Ariv, who the son of Huna had money, he had possession. And therefore that's where the father conclusively went and obligated himself to become a Kabbalah, because he thought that he's not going to lose out anything, so he actually takes that responsibility. But then the Rav Huna's possessions got ruined, and that's why he didn't have money to pay at that time when Abai had given the counsel. But therefore, since he had, then even that other opinion holds that then there is the responsibility of the kabbalah for the ksuba. Or v'yibay, you say more, if you want, you could say that ablagabe brei shibudi mishabed nafshi. A father to a son, yeah, even though that there is an opinion that holds that even a kabbalah for ksuba, if there's no nechasim to the baal, that then there's no responsibility, but that's a regular person. But a father to a son, even if the son doesn't have, if he's accepting to be a kablan, he is accepting responsibility, and therefore that would have been a good idea had it not been that he was a kain. The Gemara explains, that we learned this halacha. Arav de ksuba, if someone is a guarantor for a woman's ksuba, everyone agrees that he does not become indebted, as the Gemara will explain later on, because he's just doing a mitzvah and he's not actually making the woman lose anything. Kablan de Bachayv, the other extreme, if someone's a kablan, not just an Arav, and it's regarding, let's say, a loan, regarding a creditor, everyone agrees that he is becoming indebted. But in the middle, let's say kablan de ksuba, whereas we're going to explain ksuba is not really losing, but he's accepting himself to be a kablan, or the Arav de Bachayv, or where he's not really becoming a kablan, but he's being an ariv, but it is regarding a debt, that's where pligi, that's where we have the machlekes that we mentioned before. Mar Saba, one opinion holds, e is lay nechse lalaiva mishtabit. If the borrower has possessions, so it's a real thing. He thinks he's not going to have to pay, but he's saying, okay, just in case, I will indebt myself, so then he's mishtabit. E less lay la mishtabit, but if the borrower doesn't have any possessions, then he's not making himself indebted because he's not getting involved in this conclusively making himself responsible. It's just some type of seduction that he's trying to get the other party involved, because of course he's afraid to lose his money. He knows that the borrower doesn't have anything, or the chassan. Which Rashbam just says that you could say that there are amirom that disputed this thing, but it's not clear, doesn't say where, who and what these amirom are. But so there would be one opinion that would hold that, look, if the chassan or the borrower has money, so then he's really investing and he's taking responsibility. If he doesn't, then he's just saying words and he's not really going to be responsible. Omar Sabah, the other one holds, no, Bain Isle, Bain Leslie, Mishtabit, whether he does have or he doesn't have, he is taking responsibility. That's what we had referenced before regarding, okay, it makes sense if you hold like that, but if it was regarding the other pin, then we want to know what would be the pshat, and then we said again, either that he had, and it just got ruined, or that a father to a son is going to be different. Concludes the Gemara, V'hilchos Halacha is, and like the Gears of the Rashbam is, Bekulu, in all the situations, which takes out the next words of Arv, Bain Isle, Bain Leslie, Mishtabit, that then the guarantor does become responsible, he does become indebted, even if the borrower does not have possessions. Bar ma'arv de ksuba, except if he's a guarantor for a ksuba, to avagav de isli labal loy mishtabit. Then even if the husband at the time had possessions, still he's not becoming indebted. My time, what's the reason? So he explains the Gemara, because mitzvah hu de avad. The one who's making the shidduch, that is putting together the peer, his intention is not to pay up the guarantee. His intention is only to get them married off, because it's through when he guarantees, says, yeah, don't worry, I'll pay it up. That's how he gets the woman to go ahead and agree to get married. And v'lav mi dichastra. Moreover, he's not making the woman lose anything, as the Gemara elsewhere says, tav l'meisav tandu m'lameisav armalu. A woman would rather be with another person than be alone, and his intention is for her benefit. And it's just because she needs that little push, that motivation to get involved, that's why he goes and he says, yeah, don't want to take responsibility, but he's never really fully committing, and therefore there is no responsibility in the Arav of the Ksuba. But anything more than that, a Kabban of Ksuba or an Arav of Balchayv, all the situations, then the yes, and even whether if the debtor has money or doesn't have money, the Arav is accepting responsibility and will be obligated to pay. If the borrower, if the Chassan defaults and doesn't have money, then he'll be obligated to pay that debt.